Well, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Local Matters for Friday afternoon. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen. Greetings, Pastor Ron.
Good Friday afternoon, Dwight. How are you doing today?
I'm doing, as I told somebody earlier today, if I got any better, I'd get suspicious. No, I think somebody was playing a trick on me.
We are blessed, aren't we?
You know, if we wake up every day knowing that, you know, that God will never leave us or forsake us, sticks closer to us than a brother, with the temple of the Holy Spirit, He's for us and not against us. You know, and all that Jesus is in our hearts. I mean, how can we can't have any bad days.
That's right.
We can't, you know, I used to, as I was growing in the Lord, would have a, you know, my day would depend on my circumstances. Mm. If whatever happened to me that day was not good, I'd say not having a good day. Mm-hmm. But our day is not based on what's happening. Our day is based on where our identity is.
Yes, who we are in Christ.
Yeah.
We are blessed.
We absolutely are. We have been for a few weeks now, and I kind of want to set the table on this again, talking about the central figure in human history, and that's Jesus Christ. There are four books in the Bible that are written about his time on earth, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Of course, Matthew wrote the book. All of those books are for all of us, but Matthew was Jewish, a tax collector. He wrote the book tilted toward the Jewish people, took the genealogy of Jesus back to Abraham, talked to them. Mark was written, and it depicted Jesus as a suffering servant, so it didn't have a genealogy. Luke was a Greek physician, so he tilted his work toward the Greeks and took the genealogy of Jesus back to Adam. But the book of John separates itself in that the genealogy, I love this. I get goosebumps every time I think about it, Pastor Ron, is that the genealogy starts like this in John 1:1, where he says, not just back to Abraham, not just back to Adam, but it says this in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It was saying that Jesus was God wrapped in human flesh.
Yes, and that is, and of course, obviously, these I am statements that we're doing reflect Jesus declaring his godness, if you would. Jesus declaring who he was as God, and man, they're phenomenal. We've been so blessed these last few weeks to go over these.
When Jesus started using that kind of language, of course, we've talked about this before, Pastor Ron. Remember the Old Testament where Abraham saw the burning bush and
Moses.
I said Abraham, didn't I? Sorry about that. Thank you. Good to have a pastor in the studio with me. Moses, or was it Jonah or Noah? No, it was Moses in the burning bush. But he heard the voice saying, you know, God told him to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses said, who shall I tell him sent me? And God said, tell him I am sent you. And that was God talk. So when Jesus started using that kind of language, I am these things we've talked about already. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. That was God talk.
Man.
And on the ears of many receivers in the political and religious realm, that was blasphemy, but he was just declaring who he was.
And Dwight, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could declare our own I am statements who we are? I am the righteousness of God. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. I am in him. He is in me. You know, if we could have that same boldness, that's really, I think, what the Lord wants for us in regard to even his I am statements, is to realize that in his identity, he was bold enough to say what God said about him. And we should be bold enough to say what God says about us. You know, I think a lot of times Christians have a hard time saying I am the righteousness of God because they base everything about sin rather than what Jesus did for us. And you know, you made a statement one time at church. You were teaching on your book, The Relax Factor, and you made the statement, I never worry. Boy, when you said that, it did something to me. It's like, man, that's bold. You know, I've never been able to say that I never worry, but that's exactly what God wants us to do. He wants us to take on the identity of Christ so much in our lives that we would think, well, is God worried? Is the Lord Jesus worried about anything? Why should I be worried? Why should I have fear? Why should I have anxiety when the Word says he's not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind, you know? And so that's what we're really trying to accomplish with these I am statements, is to get people to see who Jesus said he was.
Wow.
And as we begin to see that he had that boldness, we can also have that boldness.
So what I think I hear you saying if he says I am, then we am too.
Yeah. Exactly.
And we're not elevating us to the Trinity or God level of all.
No.
But if he and I love the word confess, it says say the same thing God says. Mm-hmm. If God says you're the righteousness of God, then we're the righteousness of God.
That's it.
If God says you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, if God says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in us, if God says that about it, we're just echoing what he said. And you mentioned when I said that, that I say I never worry. Well, and the more that I say that, the more real it gets.
Yes.
Now, I get tempted to worry, mm-hmm. just like but through the word of God in my heart that I put in my heart that contradicts that or that trumps that, if you will. I just, when I'm tempted to worry, I find myself getting tense. I just have a fallback verse of scripture, like Isaiah 26:3. They'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts thee. So I start thinking about that verse. I start saying that verse. I start meditating that verse. And you can't meditate the truth of God and worry at the same time.
And that's exactly what Jesus was doing when he made these I am statements. Yeah. He was declaring by faith who he was.
Yeah.
You know, when we say I am the righteousness of God or I am blessed with every spiritual blessing, we're not bragging on ourselves.
No.
We're bragging on what he has done in us and what he's doing through us. And if you're sin conscious, you're always thinking about sin. People are always thinking about, well, who did this sin the last time and talking about who did that sin or thinking about what sin they committed. And what we end up doing is we end up magnifying sin greater than the blood of Jesus or greater than our identity. And Jesus wouldn't do that here. He would not let them say, well, you're Joseph's son, or you're Mary's son, or you're the son of a carpenter. No, he said, I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and life. I mean, this is Jesus talking about himself and what he's so secure into what. He's so secure in the love of God for himself.
Yeah.
He's so secure in his identity as the son of God. He's so secure in that that's what was in his heart came out of his mouth.
Exactly. Hey, we're glad you're with us on this Friday afternoon. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen of Living Hope Church. This is Local Matters. We're talking about the central figure in human history, and that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the statements that he made in the book of John about I am. There's a verse, Pastor Ron, that really sums this all up that I'd like to get your thoughts about here when we're talking about these statements. And I love the way you connect it to us. I mean, God just, he said, you know, you take these I am statements, and if I'm in you, you am too, you know? And I love that. I love that.
Amen.
But John 20:31, listen to this. He said, and this John tells us right here why he wrote this book. He tells us, he says, this is my mission and purpose. And this is, we have four different, we call them the gospel according to Mark, gospel according to Matthew, gospel according to Luke, gospel according to John. It's one gospel, mm-hmm. but it's four different perspectives on
yes.
it. And here's what John says about why he wrote this book. And listen to this verse. He says, but these things are written, of course, they were written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
Sure.
John was just a human penman. He was, it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name.
Wow.
This is why I wrote this book, John is saying. He says that the folks who read this book, those seven miracles that are recorded in the book of John, all the way from turning water into wine to raising Lazarus from the dead, these seven I am statements that Jesus made. John is saying, when you read this book, I want you to be able to come only one conclusion, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
And you know, Dwight, in this I am statement we're going to look at today, when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, the way to have life, John said here in John 20:31, he said, I've written these to you that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life. That word there, life, is the word Zoe,
yeah.
Z-O-E, and it means absolute life. It means that the life that is you're drawing off of to sustain your life never ceases to have life to give you.
Oh, wait.
And so,
say that again.
The life that you're drawing off of to sustain your life never ceases to have life to give you. That's what that word Zoe means. It's absolute life. And so God is saying, I have sent Jesus so that you could believe on him, not just so you could be religious and go to church, but so that you could have life and enjoy life and live life and know what life is and understand life and grow in life and then be prepared for eternal life and when you die and go to heaven, you know. But see, when Jesus said, I am the way, he didn't say, I am a way.
No.
He said, I am the way, the life, and the truth. And Dwight, to sum that up in one statement, one concept there, is to say the way that you can live life and sustain life is through me. And one of the things that I'm, the major thing that I'm doing for you is to free you from condemnation. See, condemnation is like spiritual cancer. It eats away at people's lives. It eats away. And I use this analogy. It's like condemnation is like a low-grade fever. You know, when people speak, when they're not speaking the I am statements about themselves, but they say, well, you know, if anything bad happens, it'll happen to me. Or if anybody gets laid off, just watch, it'll be me. Well, the flu's going around, I'll be the first one to get it. How many times do you hear people say stuff like that?
Yeah.
Or I'm dying to go.
Yeah.
You know, or my back is killing me. Or why is it that we are using death statements to define our life? Or why is it that we're always saying we're going to be the first ones to die or get? I was at a funeral recently, and I was standing at the coffin with some people, and it just, this just totally amazed me that this person said this, but they looked at that person in the coffin and they looked at me and they said, I'm going to be the next one there. And I'm thinking, why in the world would you say something like that?
Really?
And the reason is people do not understand that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he came to deliver us from that low-level sense of condemnation that we're always condemning ourselves. We're always putting ourselves out. We're always saying, if anything bad happens, it'll happen to me. Or, you know, we're always singing that gloom, despair, and agony on me. We're always, when that low-level condemnation is lord over our lives, we have no hope of the I am, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so if we're looking at Jesus, the thing that he's wanting to bring our lives is a sense of our, let me say this without offending anybody, I hope I don't offend people when I say it, that we would see ourselves as the children of God in the God class of being. We are actually created in his image, in his likeness. And when we make these statements about I am, Jesus is simply saying, I am so you be. Yeah. I am so you be that way.
I am so we am.
Yes.
This is Rich.
Oh, man.
We got to take a break.
Oh, no.
This is Local Matters. Stay with us, back in just a moment.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
We're back on Local Matters. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen of Living Hope Church. We're looking at the book of John specifically, and Jesus, the statements that he made there, using the term I am, which identified him with God, which he was in essence saying, I am God. And
yes,
he was. He was God on earth, wrapped in human flesh, all man, yet not ceasing to be God, to come to earth so that mankind could be redeemed through his work.
Yes.
He would die a cruel death. His spirit would leave his body. His spirit would go to hell itself, be raised from the dead, so we wouldn't have to go. The Bible says he became sin, Pastor Ron. He not only died for us.
Man.
He became sin. Jesus, even though he'd never sinned, died a sinner's death, died as a sinner, went to hell itself, so that you and I and all of our audience and all of humanity would not have to go. And then the Bible tells us that for God so loved the world, but whosoever.
Mm-hmm.
So whosoever comes to God, says, I believes in the heart, confess with the mouth, takes advantage of what Jesus did for us in terms of he became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. And I love the way you phrase it in church sometimes. He accepted us, so let's just personally accept our acceptance.
Yes, and when we think about that, Dwight, see, We know Jesus spent 3 days and three nights in hell. He told us that in Matthew 11. He said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. And then in Ephesians 4, he says the same thing. He descended, yet he also ascended so that he could fill all things. And I want to go back to that, what I was saying a while ago. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to the Father. There's no other way to this Zoe sustaining life other than by me. Well, that what that means is when we practically walk this out, we can live our lives with our head held high, not in pride, not in arrogance that we're somebody come lately, in accepting Christ. And if you never accepted him, this is the major benefit of receiving him. It's just not so you won't go to hell, but it's so that you can live on earth, your time here on the earth, free from this condemnation, this low-level condemnation. You know, once we're in Christ, Dwight, once we found our way in him, he is the way. Once we find that, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Then this Zoe life of God, this sustaining life of God, we have the right at any time. And I tell people this, even if you sin this morning, even if you sin 20 minutes ago, you have the right at any time to go to the throne room of grace, yeah, boldly, to receive grace and mercy to help in a time of need. And one of the things I've realized, Dwight, is every moment is a time of need for me. I need him every moment. I need him every hour. I just didn't need him when I got saved. I need him every day. Yeah. I need him all the time.
We need Jesus.
We need that presence. We need the freedom from condemnation. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah, and you know, as Pastor Ron, as you speak there, I'm thinking of a person I was with not too many days ago, and this person had done this thing in their life, and they believed it was wrong, and as they described it to me, it was. And she said, you know, I get up every morning, and I ask God to forgive me for that. And I get up the next morning, I ask God to forgive me for that. She said, every morning before I start my day, I ask God to forgive me. And I'm sitting there thinking, I hear the word condemnation, I'm thinking, and I said to her just, you know, I said, hey, and I didn't mean it flippantly. I don't think she received it that way, but I said, hey, he heard you the first time.
Amen.
I mean, you believe it. When you repent of that, it's over. See, a forgetfulness, far as east is from the west, and it's not there anymore. Boom, go on.
That is the essence of what I'm talking about with condemnation, where you have a sin consciousness that's greater than a righteousness consciousness. And what you're doing is, you're magnifying the sin above the blood of Jesus. Now, we're not minimizing sin here. No. We're not minimizing the pain, the destruction, the death that it brings. By any means, don't sin. But when you do, don't allow condemnation to predominate your life. What you're saying in that is Jesus is not Lord. His blood was not adequate enough. If a lost person can come to the Lord with all that sin and lostness that they have, why should a believer continually have to ask and ask and ask and ask and ask for forgiveness for something they already asked for forgiveness for?
Yeah.
When God is willing and ready and able to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, I'll tell you why. Because it's a sense of condemnation, not knowing that Jesus is the way. Dwight, even our confession is not the way. We do it because it's right, it's just, it's written in the Word. But it's the blood that covers. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses. It's his righteousness that makes us righteous. It's not our arrogance. It's not our ability to grovel. It's not our ability to beat up on ourselves. It's not our ability to carry condemnation for 20 years, something that we did 20 years ago. We've got to learn to let it go. We've got to learn to give it to him.
Yeah, and it's not our performance.
No.
You know, and I like what you say there. We wallow in that, and the devil whispers that in our ear, mm-hmm, and keeps us at a lower level of life than we're called to, or than we have in Christ Jesus, because we're still there. And I was hoping to help that lady the other day, and I said he heard it the first time. You know, move on. Now I love what you say too, and I don't want to park on this too long. By the way, we're happy you're with us. This is Local Matters for Friday afternoon. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen. I love what you said a while ago about, you know, we're not advocating sin here.
No.
And I've experienced it in my life, with sin in my life, and others can identify with this. Sin will, as I've heard you say from before, sin will kill you.
Yeah.
Sin will cost you relationships. It'll cost you financially. It'll cost you your health. It's not God doing it to you.
No.
It's when we get out there and do this. So we're not saying just do whatever, whenever, you know, whatever looks good, feels good, tastes good. But not about that. But the Bible says if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father.
Yes.
He's interceding for you. And your sin might cost you on this earth. It will, you know, over time. It'll cost you exactly. In some area of your life. It'll cost you something. But it doesn't get away in the way with the relationship. Mm-hmm. Once he comes in, he comes in.
Yep.
And that's why they call it eternal life. When we get it, we got it forever.
And, you know, Dwight, when we do magnify the sin in condemnation, we're basically saying Jesus is not the way.
Yeah.
We're saying, I can be the way. I can carry this. That lady, you know, is asking for forgiveness every day.
Yeah.
What she was doing was she was carrying, she was saying, I will punish myself for the rest of my life for this sin.
Yeah.
Well, she's not big enough.
Yeah.
She's not right enough. She's not holy enough. That punishment was borne by Jesus on the cross. That blood was shed so that she didn't have to live in that for the rest of her life and grow to the point that whatever created that sin would not continually be another problem in her life. For, you know, we all have things that we're dealing with that we're growing out of, but the key is to grow. Once you realize, wait just a minute, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What I'm thinking truth here that might satisfy me, that's a sin. It's not the truth. It's a lie. It's deception, and it's going to destroy my life. Well, see, when we do that, we're saying, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. So there's no other truth. When Jesus said fornication is wrong and that a man and a woman should be married, he meant it.
Yeah.
When Jesus gave us all the guidelines and principles to live life by, he meant that, you know. And so we have to realize when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, there's no other truth. Jesus' word is the truth. When he said, you have an advocate with the Father, when his word says, ask for forgiveness and you'll be forgiven, then we can do that and we can receive that. And so when he said, if you harbor bitterness, it's going to cost you, then we know that that's the truth. That's what he said. So it's so important to know what his word is, because his word is the truth about living life and living life successfully or not successfully. The goal here with I am the way, the truth, and the life, well, then when we accept him as the way, the truth, then we will have the life that he promised.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's wanting the life without the way and the truth.
Yeah, just make it easy, Lord. Yeah. Yeah. Let's skip over these details. Yeah. I love that.
But he is the way, the truth, and the life.
We've got about 2.5 minutes left in this show, and I want us to continue, and we're going to pick this up next week on the show, the same subject matter. But I love the unpacking of these I am statements. I love the unpacking of this one in particular in John 14:5-6. I am the way, the truth, the life. And I love what you said. He said, he didn't say I'm one of many ways.
No.
He said, and that word, the way, in other words, a broader definition of that, or what that's come to mean, I guess I should say, in my life in particular, you know, God said, hey, I knew you when you were in your mother's womb.
Mm-hmm.
I knew the giftings and callings I would put in your life. I knew the plan I had for your life. I knew the promptings I was going to give you, the talents, the gifts, that sort of thing. And if you want to have the best life you can have, not trouble-free, not without hills and valleys, maybe not without challenges, but the best life you can have here and for eternity, I am that way.
Amen.
Get in line with what the path I want to lead you down. I'm not going to twist your arm and force you down it, but I want to lead you down. That's the way to have the best fulfilling life for eternity. I'm that way. So, I was saved, came to the cross when I was 13 years old, but I really didn't start to really plug into the way till I was about 20.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking, it's going to heaven's wonderful. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. It's surely better than the alternative. But he's got a way for me now.
Yes.
And not only does he have a way, he has equipped me with everything I need to go that way.
And boy, Dwight, did you hit the nail on that? And aren't we blessed to live in a community? And I guess, you know, you and I are in the community enough to know so many pastors and leaders and teachers that are teaching this to our community, that our community is a community of the way.
Yeah.
This community really is. We are so blessed in this community to have churches, leaders, people that are showing and delivering on Jesus as the way. You know, Dwight, you can live life in religion. You can live life in politics. You can live life in tradition. But really, when we realize Jesus is the way and his word is truth and he brings us life, we can live much more fruitful, productive, peaceful lives than if we got entrapped in religion, tradition, in politics or whatever. We have to realize, whatever your lot and your station is in life, accept Jesus as the way, and his words is truth, and you're going to have some life.
Absolutely. Amen. Absolutely. This has been great.
Oh, man, it's gone by quick.
Let's just mark it right there, and let's pick it up next week. You want to?
We will.
This has been good. Hey, thank you so much for being with us. Join us next week, same time, for Local Matters.